I'd like to call to order a meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. Thank everyone for being here tonight. Would you please join me as we honor America and the Navy Junior ROTC Wildcat Company presents our colors, and then I will lead you in the pledge to the allegiance. If you would please rise. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carry colors.
And you may be seated. Thank you. I would make notice before we get started that obviously Ms. Eagle is not here this evening, but she actually is here by board policy. She's on my phone and as we speak, and she's actually, through the amazing technology that we have that I don't understand, she is actually logged into the meeting, so she will be hearing the motions and so forth and be able to vote. So she's with us in spirit, I guess is the way to say it. So first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I will entertain a motion. Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, please cast your vote. The agenda is approved unanimously. Next, we move to special reports and presentations. Our first subject is good news. Before we get to that, I'd like to ask you to help us welcome for her very first meeting, and she's been with activities that the board has been doing, but this is her very first meeting with the Oak Ridge Board of Education, and we're honored to have as our newest member, Ms. Heather Hartman, and if you would, please help me welcome her to the board. So we move on with our good news, and Ms. Hartman, we'll start with you.
I'm delivering news from Jefferson Middle School. Congratulations to the JMS First Logo Team, Logo League teams. They competed at the Marble City Qualifier on Saturday, December 3rd. The JMS Master Builders won first place in robot performance. The Radioactive Bricks won first innovation project, and the Atomic Eagles won first place champions. Julie Hardy, a parent volunteer and mentor for our teams, won the Mentor Award. Members of the Atomic Eagles are Eleanor Adamson, Ella Bradburn, Haley Campbell, Finley Mindrup, Hannah Reiger, Samantha Reiger, Tommy Sawyer, Harry Shanafield, Natalie Shanafield, and Vladek Prochowski. Members of the Master Builders are Lucy Kilpatrick, Andrew Martin, Larry Nichols, Emmett O'Mara, Nora Price, Ruby Price, Calvin Sizemore, and Ethan Schmidt. Members of the Radioactive Bricks are Moira Davis, Ava Hardy, Skyla Hardy, Anna Pickle, Gabe Sherman, Braden Williamson, Jocelyn Williamson, and Nina Vasquez.
Thank you. Ms. Webb.
All right, and from Robertsville Middle School, the East Tennessee State Band and Orchestra Association recently held auditions for middle school students to participate in an honor band clinic on December 2nd and 3rd. The auditions were extremely competitive, with a limited number of each instrument type being selected. Students could only be placed into one of three bands, bronze, silver, or gold. RMS is pleased to announce 7th grader Phoebe Holdsworth had a successful audition while participating in this honor band. Of the 70-plus students across the area that auditioned, she was selected for the ETS-BOA Silver Band, filling the 11th chair. Congratulations to Miss Phoebe. And that's Robertsville.
Miss McLean.
Okay, I have good news from Willowbrook. First graders participated in designing gingerbread houses for the Fantasy of Trees to raise money for Children's Hospital. All the houses were purchased and raised over $200 for East Tennessee Children's Hospital. Willowbrook also participated in the Hour of Code the week of December 5th. Scientists from ORNL visited the classrooms in person and virtually while hosting fun coding activities with our students. Willowbrook hosted a family engagement workshop focused on benchmark assessments, test-taking tips, etc. Over 30 parents and their students attended. They were able to review and take old benchmark assessments to truly understand what our students are required to learn. The feedback was remarkable. Finally, at Willowbrook, the Angel Tree program was a huge success this year. Over 850 students were able to have a Christmas to remember. Kudos to Mrs. Bruce, Mrs. Gleason, and everyone who made this possible for our students and our families. The Angel Tree program serves students across our system. And that's just some of the good news from Willowbrook.
My good news comes from Woodland. Woodland is happy to announce that Woodland Elementary's first Lego League team has qualified for the state championship competition that will be held in Murfreesboro in February. They are also proud to join three teams from Jefferson Middle School as we represent our district on a larger stage. This is the second consecutive year the Woodland team has qualified for the state championship, which very few elementary schools have attained this honor. And all of this is just some of the good news taking place in the Oak Ridge schools. Moving next to our public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to do that, please raise your hand to be recognized. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments, or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in, and then state your name and address for the board. Since I have Ms. Eagle on my phone, Ms. McLean will be keeping the time tonight. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time?
Hello, I'm Clintaya Mitchell. I'm here on some concerns as far as with Oak Ridge High School and the transportation for the cheerleaders and basketball team as far as the fees that they pay. Okay, should I elaborate more? Okay.
You've got 3 minutes.
All right. I played basketball here at Oak Ridge about 20 years plus ago, and we were not responsible for any of our transportation as far as getting to and from on away games. So now my daughter plays cheer. She's a cheerleader. She doesn't actually play basketball. This is her first year, and my understanding is that this has been an issue for over about 4 or 5 years, that they have already took away the transportation and whatnot. So I'm just stepping in to kind of see what actually changed in all those years. I have a lot of friends who kids play basketball also, that we have been back and forth, and they also kind of feel the concerns that I am about them having travel expenses paid for. So I'm just trying to get some information on what changed during them times. They tell me it's a lot about the boosters, fundraisers, different things like that. And the cheerleaders pay $1,600 to be a cheerleader. They do have fundraisers, but that doesn't come into account until you're actually a cheerleader. So your fees are up front at $1,600. On the first day when she actually made the team, they wanted a $200 fee the next day to play. So as they continued on, they did a few fundraisers, but I haven't seen that come off of her ledger at all. So I'm also want to know where those funds like going to. Is it to something else that they're doing? Because I'm not aware. Also, some of the girls' basketball team. Also, they have fees that comes out of their parents' pockets as well. I understand that they can participate in the fundraisers, but if you don't participate for reasons that I'm a single parent, I work 12-hour shifts. You know, I have family that helps me get my kids to and from the games or to the games or, you know, whatever I can do to get them there because I'm not always there to be able to take them. But if you don't show up at these fundraisers because we're not available to get them there, then that fee still comes out of your pocket. Like, the fundraising money still doesn't help your child because they weren't able to actually be a part of the fundraiser. And 30 seconds. Okay, and I'm just getting into part. There was a guy who made the cheerleading team also, and I think it should have been addressed at first that he was a boy, but he never had a dressing room to change in, so that became an issue that nobody ever, you know, that he was changing with the girls, and the parents got upset about that, and this boy was wanting to be, they were wanting to suspend him from the team. Like, that's not right. If he made the team, he needs to have a place that he can dress away from the girls if that's an issue. And also, I wasn't aware that it was a advertising person for the money. I've had my daughter getting called from classes at the school to be talked to about money fees from a person that's down, I don't know who she is, I've never even heard about her, but for her to take my child from class and question her about the fees that haven't been paid, that's not her responsibility, I'm her parent, they should be talking to me. So I just think it's a lot of things going on in the high school with these fees and different things that I'm just trying to get a clarity of. Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, I would have a quick comment. Appreciate you coming, as we do anyone, and sharing your concerns. As you have shared with us previously before coming, and we as a board and the superintendent have been looking into some of these issues. And one of the things that I have learned over the years, and you may or may not have done this, it's important to initially talk with those people who are the leaders of the various organizations, such as the cheerleading coach, the boosters club people, attend a boosters club meeting, and find out from that source exactly what some of these issues are. I will have to say I feel like I've done a pretty thorough investigation. And as you well know, 20 plus more years ago, I too was involved in athletics, and things have changed. It costs a lot more for young people to participate in sports today. There are schools across the state of Tennessee that do charge their athletes a fee just to participate for no other reason, just a participation fee. I hope we don't get there. A lot of teams do a lot of extra things, and those extra things come about because of their choice, and if they make those choices to do things, then just as you will find most all of our programs at Oak Ridge High School, our middle schools, and our elementary schools are involved in fundraising activities to help offset those costs, whether it be a trip, a field trip, or whatever it might be. So there's many ways to help cover some of these expenses, but my point initially is it's important that anyone, and I would suggest if you haven't, you do this, have conversations with those people who are responsible for those organizations and see from that point what can take place.
So, and no one knows. That's why I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on next is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Hartman. Please cast your vote. Consent agenda is approved unanimously. Next, we move to items for action. As we do every 2 years at the conclusion of the election for the school board, it's time by policy to elect a board chair and a board vice chair. By submitting an interest in these positions is the nomination for that person. So the names that have been submitted, and I'm going to deal with both of these kind of together, and then I have to deal with them separately. The two names that have been submitted would be myself for board chair and Ms. McLean, again, to continue as vice chair. So those two names would have then been placed in nomination. So at this point, starting with the election of the board chair, there would need to be a second to move forward with it. So motion has been seconded by Ms. McLean. Any comments or questions on that? So then please cast your vote. Motion to approve myself. It's kind of awkward to do this. There ought to be some other way to do it. Is approved unanimously, and I greatly appreciate that. I look forward to working with this board. I've had the opportunity throughout the last year during my time as president of the Tennessee School Board Association board to see a lot of boards in action, and there's not a better board anywhere in this state. I will guarantee that. Of course, I am a little prejudiced, but the way that we work together, and I think Ms. McLean would echo this, there are really five board chairs and five vice chairs on this board, because each board member has the opportunity to represent our school district, to make comments, to make proposals, to do everything that we do. So I think that's one of the things that makes our board work effectively. But having the staff that we have to work with makes our job extremely easy. So we're very appreciative of that, and we never forget that. We don't say it as much as we should, and I'm talking about from the superintendent's office down to each school within our district and all of those who fill roles in that school, our teaching staff, our TAs, our maintenance staff, our food service individuals, and all of those that make our schools operate. They are the ones that make our job easy. So with that said, we'll move on to item B, which is election of the board vice chair. Ms. McLean's name is on the floor, as a motion, and I would second that motion and ask if there are any comments or questions. Hearing none, please cast your vote. And Ms. McLean has been elected unanimously to fill the role of vice chair. Congratulations. And we'll move on to item C, FY22 district audit. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY22 district audit.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. Webb, seconded by Ms. Hartman.
Mr. Chairman, tonight we have Mr. Terry Motes, the CPA, who was the lead auditor here for the Brown, Jake, and McDaniel team, and I'll ask Terry to come forward and give us a brief introduction and to answer any questions you might have.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for inviting me here to present the auditor's reports on the financial statement audit for the Oak Ridge School System for fiscal year 22. I believe you all have a PDF of the entire financial statement document. I would ask that you turn to PDF page 13 if you want to follow along with me as I go over the first of the three reports. As y'all are getting to that point, I want to thank Jennifer and the accounting department for all their assistance during the audit. They were great in responding to all of our requests for numerous documents, especially this year when the large amount of COVID grants that school systems received and all the additional work that had to be done. So I thank them for their assistance. On page 13 of y'all's document is our independent auditor's report. This report is where we give our opinion on the financial statement, which is the entire packet that you've received of the various financial statements and notes to the financial statements. In the second paragraph there, we give an unmodified opinion. That is a clean opinion on the financial statements. In doing that, that is basically stating that the financial statements, we are given an opinion that they are materially correct in their presentation and inclusion of the notes of those in the packet. So there's multiple pages there. On page 3, we discuss some other documents or other information that's generally not part of the financial statements that the state of Tennessee requires to be in the financial statement packet. Some of those items were required to give opinions on and others were not, and it just states whether we're giving an opinion on that information or if that's management data only in that packet that the state requires to be in the financial statements. So clean opinion on the financial statements as a whole, which is what the school system is wanting. On page 155 of the document is our second report. And this is the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters based on an audit of financial statements performed in accordance with government auditing standards. That is a very long title to basically say as whenever we're auditors come in and planning our audit, we have to gain an understanding of the internal controls that the board has put in place. And in planning our audit and performing the procedures, if we see any non-compliance with those internal controls that are in place, we have to report those non-compliance items in this letter. We're not given an opinion in this letter. It's just reporting of non-compliance. We have no items to report in the current year. The third report that we're presenting in these financial statements is the independent auditor's report on compliance for each major program on internal control over compliance required by uniform guidance. This is a special report whenever a school system or municipality receives federal funding over $750,000 in a year. There has to be special tests and provisions that occur during the audit. We have to gain an understanding of your internal controls, and we actually have to test those internal controls to see that you're following those controls that are in place. We do give an opinion on these internal controls for these major programs. Those major programs are basically the large grants that we have to test on a rotating basis depending on the level of funding in each year. So each of the major programs that we tested and the internal controls that we tested for each of those major programs, we are giving an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion on those internal controls. So three reports, the two that require opinions, you've received clean opinions on, and the one that reports noncompliance had no findings. So very good reports for the fiscal year 22. Do y'all have any questions?
Those are the kind of reports we like.
Those are the kind of reports I like to give, too.
And we appreciate having a brief opportunity to work with some of your staff that comes in and does the audit. They're very professional, and we have a good relationship working with them and with you, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to work with you all and hope to continue that.
But once again, the real thanks shouldn't go to us. It should go to Ms. Van Dyke and her staff in finance for the very excellent job that they do year in and year out financially.
Absolutely.
So we thank you very much and thank them for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item D is a resolution in support of allowing school districts autonomy to make retention decisions for their third and fourth grade students. We do need to vote? Yes, we do, don't we? Sorry. We'll get to that in a minute. So we're going to vote on accepting the district audit. I got so excited about all the clean results. Motion is accepting the district audit. It's approved unanimously. Now we're going to deal with that resolution. Dr. Borchers.
And Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the resolution in support of allowing school district autonomy to make retention decisions for their third and fourth grade students.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. Webb, seconded by Ms. McLean. Comments, Dr. Borchers?
I think everybody's heard a lot of information about this, and other districts have done what we're about to do this evening to voice our displeasure in some of the things that have happened down in Nashville, and we fully support the resolution that you're going to read here in just a second.
So if you'll bear with me, we feel because of the importance of what we're doing with this resolution, it's important to read it for those watching and for our members of the press that are here and for reading it into the record as well. Whereas the Oak Ridge Schools District Board of Education is charged with governing the school district so all Oak Ridge students receive the best educational opportunities to create well-rounded, productive citizens, and whereas during the 2021 first extraordinary session, the Tennessee General Assembly adopted Public Chapter 1, now codified as TCA 496-3115, which provides in pertinent part that, beginning with the 22-23 school year, a student in third grade shall not be promoted to the next grade level unless the student is determined to be proficient in English Language Arts, ELA, based on the student achieving a performance level rating of on track or mastered on the ELA portion of the student's most recent Tennessee Comprehensive Assessment Program, TCAP test, and whereas TCA 496-3115 uses only one piece of data to make crucial and life-altering retention decisions for most third-grade Tennessee students, while also allowing for retention exemptions for English language learners, students, special education students, any student suspected of having a disability, I can't say that word, disability formally retain students, students who attend summer school, and or students participating in a year-long all-core tutoring program, and whereas the Tennessee General Assembly has made it apparent that parents should possess a strong voice in their child's education through privatization efforts, including vouchers and charter schools, but that very same General Assembly has not provided Tennessee parents the same authority with retention decisions, and whereas the wording and implementation of TCA 49-631-15 also stands to create further academic gaps between underserved subgroups, and whereas Tennessee State Board of Education policy notes that retention shall be considered only when it is in the best interest of students, and whereas the Oak Ridge School District has traditionally and effectively utilized multiple sources of data to make instructional decisions, including retention decisions, regarding all students, no matter their socioeconomic, racial, or other backgrounds, and whereas the Oak Ridge School District, like many other public school systems across the great state, follows research-based best practice strategies cultivated by Dr. John Hattie, a widely renowned educational researcher, which shows grade-level retention often has a significantly detrimental effect on a child, and whereas the Oak Ridge School District firmly believes that our parents have strong voices regarding their child's educational path and should still be granted input regarding retention decisions, and whereas no law similar to TCA 49-631-15 has proven to show long-term success in other states, often requiring those other states to amend similar legislation to include provisions allowing local school districts the power to promote students who were not proficient in ELA as measured by standardized state tests, but who also showed progress based on other relevant school district data, thus demonstrating an understanding of ELA via alternative and reliable knowledge assessments. Therefore, be it resolved that the Oak Ridge Schools Board of Education urges the Tennessee General Assembly to amend TCA 49-631-15 to allow local school districts like ours to make grade-level retention decisions for all students based upon the totality of data, discussion among stakeholders, the expertise of educational professionals, and parental input regarding the best interest of each child. Comments or questions from the board? I think we'll appoint someone to read any future resolutions of that length. Hearing none. Motion on the floor is for approval of this resolution. Please cast your vote. The resolution is adopted unanimously. Now, we will do more than just me reading that tonight. We will take this resolution once signed by the board and make sure it is put in the hands of the appropriate members of our legislative delegation and other legislators as knowledge and support of this particular resolution. The Tennessee General Assembly is about to go into session, and we are hoping that the districts that have taken upon themselves to present a resolution to speak against this particular piece of legislation will have some impact and hopefully enough impact that legislatures will see that there are changes that need to be made to this law. If not, the Oak Ridge schools are taking and have been taking steps to comply with the law, but it's going to create some major issues if the law stands as it is written. So we'll see. All right, moving on to item E, Board Policy 2.802, Payroll Procedures. This is a first and second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 2.802, Payroll Procedures.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
As the board can see, just some minor changes here. We no longer have 10-month employees, so we just crossed that out and clarified some of that language and the amount of payments that they receive throughout the school year, and then a cleanup on line 9 and 10, just to based on those previous changes.
Comments or questions? Hearing none, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item F, Smash Brothers Club at Oak Ridge High School. This is a recommendation for a new club. You know, I think it was at our last meeting, maybe, we had a club that we really, nobody knew what it was. I know what this one is. Yes, I think we're all there on board with that. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the Smash Brothers Club at Oak Ridge High School.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Hartman. Dr. Borchers.
Yes, so I saw Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, and various other characters as part of this game, but I think it's just a group of our students wanting to get together and play this game.
Comments or questions? Hearing none, please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item G. At this time of the year, we generally get requests for new high school courses, which is the next item we're going to deal with. And, you know, as we get recommendations, there's interest, obviously, that has to be, but there also has to be staff members that are capable, certified, and willing to teach these classes. So that's an important factor, I think, that sometimes gets overlooked. So item G is FY 24 new high school course requests. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of 6 new high school courses for the FY24 school year.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
So as I mentioned, we have 6 courses. I'll go ahead and read them aloud so our audience and people watching can or will know what we're trying to add here. The first one, the Holocaust and Human Behavior, Americans at War, African-American History, and then some dual enrollment options, Building Construction Technologies, Cosmetology, and Residential Commercial Industrial Electricity. So very excited about all these options for our students. And, of course, we submitted these, and if we approve them tonight, they do have to make. It's contingent upon enough students signing up for these courses, but we're pretty excited about this tonight.
Comments from the board. Ms. McLean.
We have some of the teachers here for those classes, and they all seem really excited about the possibility. So I think that is wonderful. I think any time a teacher wants to teach a class, that would make it more interesting and exciting for the kids. So I think these are great options.
Just out of curiosity and testing my memory, I believe at one time, we did have a egyptology class at Oak Ridge High School. Did we not? We did, didn't we? Thought we did. The others have not come or gone, have they, to anyone's knowledge? Now, I don't remember. I did remember that one. I think it's great, too. On the and I will ask this for the audience's sake. On the construction technology, building construction technology, we're going to actually be building?
This I should clarify. So the building construction technology and the industrial electricity, residential, commercial, those will be on the Harriman campus. So I imagine they will be building some things over there, Dr. Cross, but not certain. So those will be on the Harriman campus, and cosmetology will be in Knoxville. So we're excited, at least, though, that we can offer those to students that have a passion for that.
Absolutely. And I thought that was important to have that known, that, you know, I'm sure the board would get a question, well, where are you going to be building a house on Oak Ridge? Where are you going to build that first house? So maybe someday.
Someday.
And I know we have some people here in the audience that are here in support of some of these classes. If there is anyone here that wishes to address any of these at this time, this would be a good time to do that. If not, we appreciate your being here and showing your support. So, Mr. Reddick, I knew you would take an opportunity.
I've been trying to think of my opening line, and I was going to say something like, I spent many of the best months of my life here on Monday evenings back in the day, and it's good to be back. Earlier today, I sent each of you an email about the Holocaust and Human Behavior class, and I just wanted to reiterate the support that I have and that a number of people in the front row here have for the creation of this elective. Oak Ridge has a long history of Holocaust education, whether we know it or not, because one of our most well-known citizens is the late Mira Kimmelman, who passed away a few years ago. And Mira Kimmelman was legendary throughout the Southeast, or throughout the East Tennessee region, and including in the Oak Ridge schools, for going to schools, talking about her experiences as a survivor of Auschwitz and a number of other camps. And her legacy, I think, has been most strongly passed on through members of, so some of your own kids have possibly heard Mira speak before she passed away. She came to Jefferson. She's been to the high school, been to Robertsville, talked at UT, talked at Webb. We've got Ronnie Bogart, who's seated here in the first seat, was one of Mira's most devoted students throughout her life. And Mira and Ronnie worked together to get her presentations digitized. Those are now on the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's website in Washington, D.C. So Ronnie has done a great deal of work on that. But the beyond Mira's efforts, Julie Kinder McMillan at Robertsville and Dr. Sandra Burnett at Robertsville have essentially introduced half of our students that enter Oak Ridge High School to the Holocaust every year for the past 20-plus years in Julie's case. The various teachers at Jefferson have taught it at different times over the years, but I think part of what drives the urgency of this class, this course in today's world, is that it doesn't take a lot of reading online to see the number of the dramatic rise in anti-Semitic incidents in this country and across the world, both not just in rhetoric but also in violence. And that has become a rather well-established fact for, and adds an urgency to this, to the creation of this course. There were pretty blatant allusions to the Holocaust in the Charlottesville rally in 2017. References to it came up on January the 6th, 2021, at the Capitol. And I think what has really push this for all of us is the idea that our country's democracy is at stake when we see how fragile it is, how it is much as exposed to be in situations where anti-Semitism becomes somewhat normalized in the country's political discourse, and certainly not believed in by very many, thankfully, but believed in by enough people who are loud enough to go out and do some things which are very, very disturbing in our country's political discourse. Jinx Watson, who some of you know from on the front row down down toward the end, was our teacher center director back when I started in 1984. She became the HR director, personnel director, and Jinx has been long connected with Facing History and Ourselves, which is essentially the curriculum that Dr. Morton, on the front row also, will be introducing to students at Oak Ridge High School. So I think that I'll slow down here. I think the urgency of a course like this is never more needed. Students are some of our best leaders. I don't think that world understands the role of young people's voices necessarily, that they necessarily get enough credit in creating social change and pushing. And you can go back to Clinton High School in 1956 or Oak Ridge High School in 1955 and look at the roles that students played in trying to help the adult world understand that this is okay. If you go to the Green McAdoo Center, you'll see the roles that students played. The student council, the football team within that building, became protectors of the students who tried to desegregate Clinton High School. And I think our young people, and especially there's this real urgency in this class that, as Facing History created it, to have students recognize that they have agency, that they have ownership, and that they have a place to participate in this world and in this country as we try to work to reduce hatred and bigotry and prejudice and increase tolerance and understanding. And it's all very developmentally appropriate. Facing History has always been, you know, this is a time when these kinds of topics are not always easy to get approved. And I don't think anybody up here on the front row takes it for granted. So I really appreciate your careful consideration, and knowing that in empowering Dr. Morton and students to embrace these difficult topics, we're forcing ourselves to take an honest look at our history and and giving them a stake in the future of our country. So with that, I'll tell you I'm not running for office. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Motion on the floor is the approval of FY24 new high school course request. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item H, addition of a 1.0 FTE communication specialist. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of addition of a 1.0 FTE communications specialist.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
And the board, as I mentioned earlier this week, you've got the what I call a robust job description for this person.
to say the least.
We hope we can find somebody that can do all this. But I first want to say, you know, Dr. Cross stepped into this role back at a time when we really needed somebody to help us with communication, and she took on two jobs at that point, and just can't thank her enough for what she does, not only in communications but in CTE as well. And I think this board realizes the number of grants that Dr. Cross has brought into this district. That doesn't take time away, that adds time, and all of the issues of trying to line up all those grants and the funds. And I know that was especially true last week when Alan and Dr. Cross were working together on our $2 million worth of grants. And because of just some things that we want to focus on, not only external communication but internal communication, we feel it's time that we make this a full-time position, and that would also allow then Dr. Cross to focus her full-time energy on our great CTE program.
And I know that the board echoes those comments that you just made. Dr. Cross, thank you so much for getting something that we knew we needed in a communications person that we had to have to centralize the communication effort from our schools. That's just been so much appreciated. And you did so well, it even convinced the city they needed one too. So thank you, and but this just gives you more time to continue to bring in those wonderful grants, and the program that you're operating, the CTE program, is a well-respected program across the state as well. So we appreciate that, and thank you. So, Dr. Bortress, using your crystal ball, do you think we can have someone in place in this position by the end of the year, school year?
Oh, end of the school year, I would hope so. I would hope so. Yeah, if we can find the person that can do most of this job description.
Yeah. And we'll let's say most of it. Maybe we can do some training for some parts of it if need be.
That's true. That's true.
Any other comments? Please cast your vote. Motion is approved unanimously. Moving on, budget transfer number one. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of budget transfer number one.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. Webb, seconded by Mrs. Hartman. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we typically do what we call a mid-year spend every year. We look at our books. Mrs. Van Dyke does her work with her team to determine where we're trending, and if we have some extra dollars, then we make some purchases. So you're seeing some of those mid-year adjustments and realignments, some of these things going into capital accounts. I'll just read briefly some of the capital expenditures we're talking about. Sign for the track, of course. We've already put a down payment on that, if you will, earlier in the year. Paving at Blankenship Field, concrete pad at the baseball field, carpet for the Robertsville Middle School Library, some signage at RMS, two more additional signs at Glenwood and Linden. We're kind of going through that whole opportunity to get all our schools the new signs. And then our latest local match for the COPS grant that Mr. Lay has secured. And you'll hear more about that in the upcoming days. And then there's many other things there. But this is our typical mid-year spend at this time of the year.
Questions? Ms. Hartman, since this is your first time dealing with a budget transfer, do you comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, please cast your vote. Sorry, I was just... Something caught my attention. Sorry. We're good, but something strange right there. Anyway, motion passes unanimously. Sorry. Item J, purchase and installation of carpet at RMS Library. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the purchase and installation of new carpet for the Robertsville Middle School Library from Bonnet's Flooring in the amount of $24,749.06.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Hartman. Dr. Borchers.
As you can see from Alan's memo, you know, the carpet's about 15 years old and needs replacement, but we're also doing that because it's an opportune time because of the new library shelving that's going in at Robertsville. So this is a good time to do these.
Comments or questions? Ms. McLean.
So is this the same carpet tile like is in this room and everywhere else in the system?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Ms. Smith? Okay.
Actually, this is actually a different product that we're trying out in this area. So this is actually made of recycled water bottles. So it's a total full cycle type of material. And that's why we've got an actual outside contractor installing it, so they'll do the removal and installation of the new. It's supposed to have a 20-plus year lifespan. We went and looked at it in Knox County. They've been utilizing that in their areas in Knox County, and we were very impressed with the product.
Any other questions of Alan while he's there?
What color is it?
It's actually a gray with red striping in it, so we're going to try and pull out the colors for the school. The red striping will be not bold, but a few spots here and there.
Thank you, Alan. Any other comments? Motion on the floor is the purchase and installation of carpet at the RMS library. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item K is the purchase of a replacement fleet vehicle. Dr. Borchers, thank you all for coming. We appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the purchase of a replacement fleet vehicle from National Auto Fleet Group in the amount of $64,517.08.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Hartman. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we're kind of behind on replacement vehicles, but this will kind of help our maintenance department at least try to do one a year, and the mid-year spend allows us to do that this year.
Comments or questions? Ms. Webb.
Unfortunately, it's going to be an order and wait situation. The challenge that we have is this is actually a Ford vehicle, and they're going to close the window for ordering vehicles in the next 4 or 5 days, I believe. So she's looking at her watch saying, I got to get that thing called in here pretty soon because they close it on Thursday. There is still a huge backlog for vehicles and for a lot of other equipment.
Mr. Thacker, you want to just stay there for
this
next
item? I was going to suggest that. Motion on the floor is approval of the purchase of a replacement fleet vehicle. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Move on next to the purchase of cooling towers for Oak Ridge High School and Robertsville Middle School. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of emergency repairs for the Oak Ridge High School and Robertsville Middle School cooling tower systems by McMahon Mechanical, LLC, in the amount of $234,000 due to an extreme winter weather event.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
Yeah, I'll let Mr. Thacker kind of describe this, but the cold temperatures we had caused problems not only here but Blankenship and other places. But Alan, you want to give us a quick rundown of that damage?
We actually had freeze protection in place, but it only works when you have power. So with the rolling blackouts, we suffered like most school districts and other entities throughout the state. The freeze protection didn't work, so there's lots of damages everywhere. In this situation, two out of our five cooling towers that have bundles in them, the bundles froze and busted, and they have to be replaced, or we won't have cooling for the coming summer months. So that is a quick turnaround that we're going to try and get. We contacted this particular vendor. Actually, they came out and was working on something else when we discovered the cooling tower itself was damaged, and they quickly gave us a price to get these others up and running. The quicker we get this out, the better, because we're being told that the manufacturer has a very long list of damages throughout the southeast after that one bad cold front, so there's a lot of repairs going around the whole state.
I'm obviously not the only person that has asked this question, because I've read significant articles in the news media. Is there any possibility for any recovery because of this?
We're actually submitting all of our damages through, I think Anderson County is going to make a claim through TEMA or FEMA for possible reimbursement, although I know that Ms. Van Dyke can tell you that getting the funds from those, even when they're approved, can be a very long, drawn-out process. However, we are filing these on our insurance as well. I just sent those off probably half an hour ago, so they've got photos. When I called our insurance agent, they said, take photos because we've got so many damages district-wide, I don't have enough people to get out and actually examine each one. So they, when we told them what damages we had, they said, well, you got away a little bit easier than some of the others.
Other questions? Motion on the floor is the purchase of cooling towers for Oak Ridge High School and Robertsville Middle School. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Item M is construction of baseball field bleacher improvements. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of construction of baseball bleacher improvements by Lenhart Construction, LLC, in the amount of $37,750.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Webb. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we've been making some improvements to the baseball facility, and this will allow us to put some cement down, some walkways, backstop walls, so that we can put the new bleachers that we also purchased earlier and Allen's team is putting together. So this will allow us to put the cement down and put those bleachers on top of that cement.
Comments or questions from the board? Ms. McLean.
So is the city helping with any of these costs?
What is the city picking up on this, Alan? I can't remember.
They picked up all the demo work, so they actually removed the old bleachers that were mounted there, so that saved a lot of time and funds on the cost of that. There's also some components of the backstop that they're going to be putting some funds toward as well.
Motion on the floor is approval of the construction of the baseball field bleacher improvements. Please cast your vote. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we move to items for information, enrollments, and attendance reports. Mr. Lay.
Yes, sir. Our enrollment has increased by 119 students. Majority of those students are at the high school and at Linden Elementary. I would love to have some positive news when you look at the attendance graphs, but as you can tell, we had a sick fourth grading period, attendance period. We just had a lot of illness, had a lot of strep, a lot of flu. And I think the difference as we look at what we've had the past few years, used to you'd get that one wave this time of the year. It appears we have multiple waves now. So it's my understanding we may be getting close to a COVID wave. So once again, but we had a 10% absenteeism at our secondary schools this past grading or attendance period. So.
And I'm afraid, unfortunately, this may become the norm and not just something that happens periodically. We have a big case of the flu or whatever. I'm just afraid we'll have to say, if you're in a place that you need to be, the Oak Ridge schools are in a place that we can handle absenteeism created by illness if we need to.
You know, and we were fortunate. Many school systems shut down for a week prior to winter break, so at least we were not in that situation and could continue to serve our students. So,
any questions or comments from the board? Financial reports. We got the best financial report we could have had earlier. So, yeah. Yeah, those who are sitting out there don't know this. That report was 161 pages, so he gave us the very abbreviated version of the report. Okay, items for discussion is the superintendent's evaluation. The board has had the opportunity to evaluate the superintendent. As per policy, the superintendent's contract comes up for renewal each January. And in the renewal process, we as board members evaluate the superintendent. And then if the board chooses, the superintendent's contract can only be extended for one additional year, which keeps the superintendent's contract at 4 years. Between now and our next meeting, which is the 23rd of this month, I would encourage any board members who would like to meet with the superintendent to discuss this evaluation to do so. This is your opportunity to do that. At our next board meeting, the item on the agenda will be for approval of extension of the superintendent's contract and discussion of the superintendent's evaluation process. So any questions or concerns there?
Should we note that I didn't participate in that since I'm
yes.
new?
Yes, thank you. I would thank you for noting that. Thank you. Okay, moving to old business. Any old business? New business? Remember the movie where the guy said, "I've had enough and I can't take it anymore"? Network, is that, remember that? I've reached that point, Alan. I was down at Robertsville the other day, and I was leaving Robertsville, and as I do, I come out of the front area right there and turn either left or right to exit, and was so disgusted that I got out of my vehicle and took pictures of the potholes that I was afraid if I had hit one, my truck would have been lost in it. And I'm being serious now. These are not just little bumps in the road. These are deep potholes. So these pictures I am sending on to the mayor. I know the city has a lot of issues with street, particularly with the weather as it's been. But that's been like that, I think, since I was there. What is the name of that street, Alan? Does that street have a name?
Yes.
Does anybody does anybody know the name of that street? Do you know? Yeah, but I think it...
It does have a name, but it escapes me right now. It's actually...
Well, I'll go back now. I'll drive back around through there and take more pictures and get the name. I guess there's a street sign there.
There is a street sign, and it's part of the connector that runs up beside the church. So that originally that was a cut-through street, and at some point the city said that was the school's, and when I first took this position years ago, that was a city street. So it's been a matter of contention between the city and the schools who owns it. That's it.
What is it?
Ingram Lane.
Well, we've gone long enough. I'm surprised we hadn't had a lawsuit. Some parent coming through there and hits in the night and hits one of those and rips their axle off their car.
We've patched it multiple times, but the patch does not last.
Well, I don't know where this is going to go, but as I said, I've had enough of this. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've got a great-looking school right there. And any other schools, if you've got pothole problems, let me know. Because send me pictures. I'm on my pothole
don't
mission
open the
now.
Can of worms.
Okay. Okay. Well, and as I said, I know there are issues and the weather creates this, but this has been like this forever.
Yeah.
And it gets worse.
And the cost of paving has nearly doubled in the past 10 years. Once we started seeing the cost of petroleum products really rise, cost of paving went up significantly.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll see what happens. Wish me luck. Okay. Moving on.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So on that subject, what do we have a definition of what a city street is? And if they have a street sign, then aren't they a city street?
That's my understanding. And if you put up a city street sign, then in my belief, it is a city street. That's my contention that I'm going to go by. That you've got a street. If it's not a street, then take the sign down. We'll call it. We'll put up our own sign and call it Cafeteria Road.
Right.
But wait, I hope nobody was listening on the mic when I said that.
I do think we should pursue with the city some discussion about how these are determined.
No, I'm serious. I am pursuing this. These pictures. I will send the pictures of the potholes and the road sign. And follow up. I'll have a report on the 23rd if I'm here. And if you haven't seen it, feel free to drive by Willowbrook and Robertsville and any other places that I learn about. Yeah, it is. It's not only safety issues, it takes away from what it, the aesthetic. You're exactly right. Communications. Tomorrow in this room, what I refer to as data sharing will take place, and it's an opportunity for all our school districts to share the great things that are going on in each of their buildings. And let me assure you, we as a board are aware of those great things. And I know some of the board members will be here tomorrow to hear that. I believe that starts at 8:30.
8:15
in this room. On the 11th, the board will be visiting Glenwood beginning at 8:30. We will be there. Also on Wednesday, I will be hosting the first of several Focus on Education television productions at the Oak Ridge High School television studio beginning at 6 o'clock, and Dr. Borchers will be my guest, and we'll, since we haven't done one at all this year, we'll talk about the things that we've been doing this school year. And I know each of you have picked a month, but you need to go ahead and pick a date so Dave will know exactly when to set up the crew to be there and be ready for you. Right? Perfect. And Dr. Borchers, anything else?
I was just going to end. We're excited about the Principals PLC or Data Sharing Day. It's just a great day for principals to really talk about the great things that's that are happening in their buildings and the great things that teachers are doing with students. And it's just great to see the increases in student achievement. So we're looking forward to a great day.
Anything else from board members? Lynn, thank you, as always, for keeping us on track. Travis and Dave, thank you for keeping us on the air for the millions that are watching. And thank each of you for taking your evening tonight to be with us. And thank you all for all the great things you're doing. We stand adjourned.